Welcome to Nova's Here. I'm Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Greg Williams. We've been trying to talk about helping you grow and making Jesus the Lord of your life, not just your Savior. Obviously, it starts there with acknowledging you need a Savior. But, man, we had a great conversation yesterday with Greg Williams. He has a tremendous website called Love and Lordship. It's loveandlordship.com. Really want to encourage you to go check that out. He's got videos. He's got a great blog that he writes. And really need to subscribe to his weekly newsletter. I get that each week and really blesses me, helps to keep me focused. A lot of you guys that listen are like sports guys like me. Kind of helps me keep my eye on the ball and my personal relationship with Jesus. So I want to encourage you to go check that out and subscribe to his weekly newsletter. You can do that at loveandlordship.com. But if you missed yesterday's program, go to our website. You need to hear that 14 minutes yesterday. We had a powerful, powerful program. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and subscribe to that. And you can find those 14-minute programs. Also, go to Podbean or iTunes. You can subscribe there, and they'll just automatically send those daily podcasts to you Monday through Friday. They're only 14 minutes long and help you grow in your faith this year as we finish out the 2019. All right, well, Greg, we were talking about lordship and is he Lord and your first love? But let's talk a little bit about discipleship and one of the things you say, and I love it because you're a man's man. You speak the truth. You do it in love. You speak the truth. You've told me before, Greg, it all begins in the mirror.
Yeah, oh, that's good. The Lord's been laying that on my heart quite a bit lately is that, you know, he tells us to go make disciples, but that in doing that, he's already commanded us to be a disciple. We need to receive his gift, his grace, his salvation. But then there's this part of salvation called sanctification. Now, that's a big fancy word, but it just simply means you're set apart, that he set you apart for a specific purpose. Every one of us, Ephesians 2:10 talks about that. You're God's masterpiece or workmanship. And so then he tells us, now go make disciples. And yesterday we sort of ended talking about what that looks like. It doesn't mean just train people up and go talk to them a little bit. It literally means that I live my life in such a way that as I walk along my path, my story, my life, Jesus Christ is rubbing off on others. I'm walking with him in integrity and in purity and in those things that I need to be doing because of him in me that he comes through. Well, if I'm not looking at that person in the mirror and saying, how am I doing that? Am I walking in that daily? Then what is rubbing off? What is going to happen? And so, yeah, I say that often. And it's interesting, Greg, I want to share something as we get into this, but just recently, I had a guy that I was mentoring. We do it sometimes on the phone or do a video mentoring. And he had asked me to mentor him a few months ago. And great guy, Olympic swimmer. And great. So we connected on that level, you know, athletics and coaching and stuff. And so he said, Greg, would you mentor me? And I said, yeah, be glad to if we can work in this schedule. I have certain parameters that God's given me so that I keep my marriage and my family where they're supposed to be, my time with the Lord.
And the Sabbath.
And the Sabbath. Yeah, from yesterday's, in case you all go back and listen. But yeah, all those things are that's keeping the Lord first. The Sabbath is keeping the Lord first. So you got to do that. So we'd been going about 5 months, and he said, Greg, on your advice, my wife and I asked five couples if they would come and let us do some mentoring of them. We knew them a little bit, and we were hoping that two or three might say yes, and all five of them said yes. And he said, so I think maybe our time is coming to a close, and because I'm going to have to prepare for them. And this was such a great analogy, because he said, and I think I need to be maybe challenged a little more. What would you challenge me with? And I said, I'm going to go call his name. I don't want to do that. But I said, so-and-so. I said, what are the things I ask you every single time we meet? How's your family? What's going on in your work, your ministry? How are you living out the Lord there? But then the thing I always ask you, same one every time, how's your time in the Word? How's your time in prayer? And how's your time with the Lord? Are you doing that on a daily basis to be filled up with him? And he said, man, Greg, you know, it's interesting that you had gotten me moved from once or twice a week up to 5 or 6 days a week, and I'm working towards 7. And they said, all of a sudden, about 3 weeks ago, when we found out we were going to mentor these couples, I started thinking about that and doing those. And he said, honestly, I've only been in the Word about 2 or 3 times in the last 3 weeks. And I said, so I just have one question for you. if the Lord has called you to mentor and to pour into them, what are you going to pour into them? And his comment to me was, wow, Greg, I got to tell you this before I tell you what I'm feeling. This is a really good thing that I'm going to tell you next. And I said, okay, what is it? And he said, I feel like I just got kicked in the gut. And he said, but it was really good because you've challenged me that with that all along, what it really means to be a disciple. And I have to be that first, remember the mirror, before I can truly disciple others. Now, as long as I'm a little more mature than the person I'm discipling, this will work. I don't have to be perfect. None of us are except Jesus, and we're seen as perfect. But as a disciple maker, we first have to be a disciple. And that means I have to spend time with my Lord so that as I follow in his footsteps, when I'm discipling others, they will eventually just begin to walk in his footsteps as well. That's the way discipleship works. If I'm not being filled up with that, how am I going to help them do it?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, you know, what happens, the enemy does so good. You know, you start saying, hey, I do. You hear about discipling, you want to do that. And yet, if it starts taking away from your personal relationship with the Lord, you know, you can't give people what you don't have.
That's right. Exactly right. Wow. Why didn't you just say it first, Greg? I would have left the story out. That's great. No, exactly right. How am I going to, my question to him was, how are you going to pour into them? Or rather, I said, what are you going to pour in them? And he got it right away. He said, well, never. He said, forget it. We're going to keep talking. I said, that's great. That's fine. If our season is over, that's fine. If not, let's continue it. But to your point, if I'm not filling up, and I'm asking people this a lot now, couples and men in particular, when I sit with them or when I'm doing a conference or a retreat or a series, I continually am asking people about this part of discipleship. How much of your discipleship time is spent with your Lord? Because we tend to think of, and the church tends to push discipleship as relationships here, horizontal. You and me, me and my wife, my children, my family, the church family, those who are lost to some degree. And those are all important and essential, but they're not first. And that is a key word. God said the first and greatest command is to love me, and the first thing you ought to seek is my kingdom. And the kingdom is loving relationships, yes, but if I don't know what it means to know and love him, then what am I passing on to someone else? And that's a key part. We spend most of our time trying to get people as disciple makers to go serve somebody and to try and help train them up. But what are they training them up in if no one has ever taught them how to truly spend time with and love the Lord? And that's where discipleship begins, is my relationship with my master, with my Lord. And if I stay in that, now I can pour that into others.
Well, and I think it comes back to, you know, one of the things you said to me several years ago, and I've never forgotten it was, you know, Greg, when you get that vertical relationship, the one, you know, looking up to the Lord, yes, and spending time with him and his word, praying. And, of course, praying is a two-way conversation. It's not just us talking. It's right. Also listening. You said to me, you know, once you get that vertical relationship of praying, talking, and listening to the Lord, it's amazing how much better the horizontal relationships, those around us, goes.
Yeah, that's huge, Greg. And you just, again, summed it up really well. We have seen how many times that I know we're not on TV or video, but both of my hands are pointing up to the sky and down to my shoulders. And you can visualize that. And then now they're starting at my shoulders and going straight out. And you've heard minister after minister and pastor after pastor go, we got to get the vertical relationships right, to your point, before we ever get the horizontal ones. But then we do very, very little to literally disciple and train people up in what it means to grow in their vertical relationship with the Lord. Almost all of our time is spent on, now go out and help others. But if we're not spending that time in the Word, in prayer, two-way, in quiet time with the Lord, then we're not going to have much to pour into other people. And so what kind of relationships are we really building? And I believe, and I've seen it over and over again, that our churches are full of a lot of well-meaning, good-willed people that are trying to help other people, but their source is so limited because no one has encouraged them and taught them what it means to spend time with your Lord first, so that is what just gets poured into and overflows into others as you go along the way. And that's what the Greek word means. My life is being overflowed into yours because of what I'm filling it up with.
Well, and you know, you talk about the priorities, and I love football and basketball as much as anybody, and try to make it where I can watch as many UK football and basketball games. But a couple of weeks ago, with Danny Gokey came in concert, and I was fortunate to have him as a guest, and just a tremendous, not just, you know, songwriter and has tremendous voice, but I've seen him in concert. He's also a great entertainer, He also knows his Bible. He's been signed with the Lord, has a personal relationship, and I went to a concert a couple of years ago, and he talks about that and his faith, and had a, you know, I guess you call it altar call. There obviously was no altar. And anyway, I bought 20 tickets, and it winds up, me and a couple other friends really tried to get a lot of people to go. And out of the 20 tickets, we got me and two other guys and 17 girls, women, okay? Because Kentucky was playing Missouri in football that night. That's why I bring it up. And, you know, I get it and all that, but for me, it was just like, you know what? Here's one of the best at what he does, Danny Gokey. I know it will fill my tank, my cup, so that I can disciple and help others. And you know what? I can DVR the game. And, of course, Kentucky's struggling in football anyway, so maybe it's not even worth watching. But I just think, you know, there's guys, I know a lot of guys that listen to this program, because they tell me that, you know, sometimes it's okay to miss a ball game or something and do something that maybe fills your spiritual tank. Because, you know, there's always UK football and basketball games, but I think when we can prioritize, and I'm not saying you have to miss everything, but I know for me, for the next 2 days, man, I was living off a spiritual adrenaline rush because of just spending that time focusing on God for those 2 hours. Therefore, that helps me disciple and help others.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would say this, as I hear you talking about that, Greg, that's certainly one of the things that we can do to help with discipleship. Go into church, hearing a good message, being in a fellowship or a class or a small group, all those things help. But in reality, Jesus himself showed us what it meant to be a disciple, not just a Lord, but he literally would get away from everything else and just spend time with his Father. Before he picked the 12 disciples, after he fed the 5,000 and then walked across the Sea of Galilee and then spoke to another 10 to 12,000 plus, as most historians say, he spent time with his Father. So that discipleship, again, is it can come from a variety of places, but most importantly, it has to come from us seeking and knowing and loving him first and seeking his kingship, his kingdom, his lordship in our lives. When we do that, now we are going, that's what's going to come out of us to others, regardless of what the circumstances. No matter what the situation or circumstances, that's what's going to come through us. How else in the world can I know what it means to love others if I don't know what God's love for me is and how to love him? How can I know who I am if I don't know my author or my creator? And he has the answers to all of that. When I know that, now I can humbly and confidently pour into others. And that's true discipleship.
Wow. Well, we've had a great program today. Unfortunately, we're out of time already, but maybe you just tuned in. You're like, man, I wish I could have heard the first part of this. I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. You can hear that or see that. It'll be on there. You can share it with somebody. Also want to encourage you. You're like, man, I love the stuff that Greg's sharing. Greg Williams, how can I learn more about this? I want to encourage you to go to his website, loveandlordship.com. That's loveandlordship.com. There's blogs there. There's videos to watch. And then he does a weekly newsletter that really, really will help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And as I said earlier, a great sports analogy, helped me keep my eye on the ball. So I want to encourage you, when you go to that website, you'll see it there on his homepage, to subscribe to his weekly newsletter. You can find it again at loveandlordship.com. Stay tuned and join us again tomorrow as we're going to be with Greg Williams one more time on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.